So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we'll start at verse 12. Again, as is common in Paul's letters, kind of the final exhortation, that's the, well, in light of the gospel exposition, what Christ has done, how are we to live? And he gives us a number of different points right after another, and we'll focus this morning on verses 16 through 18. Let's read the context starting at verse 12. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who called you is faithful, who also will do it. So that's our scripture reading then for this morning. And we'll focus then on those verses. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Dearly loved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to the very end of 2023, it's common for year ends to have a kind of a review of a looking back as to what has happened over the past year. And it's a helpful exercise. I think we all benefit from it in some ways as we consider what exactly has happened. Maybe the year felt long, maybe it felt sure. Maybe there was lots that happened. Maybe you think, well, maybe not that much happened. And yet then you start to review. And you may notice patterns, lessons, struggles you come through. You may notice the work of the Lord. And it's also a helpful exercise because it lends itself so well to giving thanks. As we look at our year, as we look at what the Lord has done, that we may consider giving thanks to the Lord. But what comes to mind when you hear about Thanksgiving? What kind of thankfulness is present or lacking in your life? Because we likely struggle with Thanksgiving, and we benefit therefore from these reviews and being conscious of how we give thanks. But what would you say? Is there a gratitude in your life that is vibrant? Or is gratitude, especially at the end of another year, maybe something that, well, you're like, oh, a sermon on Thanksgiving is just going to be making me more tired. It's like, yes, that's going to be a good sermon, I need it, but I try to be more thankful, and it just doesn't happen. Are you maybe just thinking already, like, yes, I will give thanks at the end of the year, but it's just going to be that flat, generic Thanksgiving that I do every year. I kind of ask these questions, so what kind of Thanksgiving is there in your life? in order to kind of get us thinking, like, okay, so what brings us then to that point of true, lively, vibrant, genuine Thanksgiving? And to realize that, you know, it starts before that. It's not just all this, well, this morning we have a sermon on Thanksgiving, so this today I'm going to be giving thanks. It's how we may think of other aspects of Thanksgiving that all come together, reinforce one another, and kind of provide that feedback into one another. So that we don't just give thanks poorly and flat, but vibrantly. Because it may be tempting for us to, you know, end the year and to give Thanksgiving in a flat way. Often like we do kind of maybe with let's say, when we comfort someone. And you've maybe heard this before, or you've had this experience where, you know, you're struggling with something, or something's really difficult in your life, and someone comes to comfort you, and they say, like, well, at least it's not worse. And I think we can do the same with Thanksgiving. Lord, thank you for this year that interest rates haven't been higher. Lord, thank you this year that my health isn't worse, but kind of upset with where it's at. Thank you, Lord, that, you know, you didn't send more challenges through my kids, but I do kind of resent them right now. You may be giving thanks. You may be reviewing your year. But is it that true, genuine, vibrant kind of thanks? Not really. Maybe still trying to see our way through difficulty. And our Thanksgiving is just not there, or ends up flat. And so with that kind of a struggle in mind, let's listen to God's word this morning and consider some of the other aspects of Thanksgiving that can revitalize it, make it genuine, and bring us just before the throne of God with praise and thanksgiving. And let's start somewhere, and that is by looking at these commands, that will of God for us in Jesus Christ that we find in 1 Thessalonians 5. Because there are three different commands, and often we would benefit so well from it this morning if we just took them one by one, but what we're going to do is try to see how they maybe feed into one another. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks. Let's consider how when we take them together, amplify one another. In fact, when we have sought joy, when we have truly prayed, how we, with God's help, may actually give thanks in true, genuine, vibrant thanksgiving. And so that's why our theme this morning is how to be thankful with joy and prayer. And so that means that we'll start with that first command, rejoice always. Cultivate thanksgiving through joy. And actually, that makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? When you break down thanksgiving at its very core, or the seed from which it grows, is something that we recognize as good. Like this is kind of true across the board. We may not always think of it. You know, even when someone just holds up the door and we say politely, thank you, it may just be polite, it may be just, you know, what we say to... But at the same time, if you think about it and do that actively, consciously, you recognize there's something good there. Someone was considerate, someone helped you. It's a good that you may rejoice over, a good that you may be thankful for. Someone serves us, does their job, say thank you, because that's a good. Sometimes because we're just polite, sometimes it's a minor good, but it only grows from there. The greater the good that we recognize, the more sincere the thanks that we want to give. Maybe especially as we just had Christmas time, Christmas break, we may have gotten gifts. And if we recognize something good, maybe that there was thought or cost that's sort of associated with it, we said more genuinely, thanks. I really appreciate this. There's a good there. And we've spotted. And the natural response is to give thanks. And it may be not difficult. It may not be, it probably isn't flat, but true and vibrant. And maybe you start to realize why we're linking rejoicing with thanksgiving. Because of the response to recognizing the good is thanks, and naturally so, its inward effect then is often joy. Joy flows from being grounded in some good that we recognize and get to enjoy. Which gets us to then 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Because it happens more often in the New Testament, the Bible is very direct in commanding joy. It's not like rejoice when you're happy. No, it says rejoice and rejoice always. Yes, as we know from Scripture, that includes all circumstances, even the difficult ones. One of the best examples of this is Paul's letter to the Philippians, often considered a letter of joy because it's the theme throughout. And if you know anything about the context of the letter to the Philippians, it's that Paul is writing that as he is in prison himself. And as he's worried about a church that he can't visit and he can't support in person. And that he would love to see these people again. And yet he says, I rejoice. And he tells them, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Because he recognized joy as that fruit of the Holy Spirit within us. But therefore it is not tied to circumstances or our situation, but can be a command. Rejoice. Now that raises the question then, well, what does this look like? What is this joy? And too often we may confuse it with happiness. That having joy and rejoicing is, you know, equivalent to or the same as being happy. Or we might know it's not the same, but not sure what the difference would be. Now this morning, let's just start by making the distinction between joy and happiness by recognizing that happiness often has more to do with the things that happen to us, the circumstances we find ourselves in, whereas joy is really about that internal, that interior state, maybe even the direction or the focus of our person. And to illustrate this thing, saying that you are happy when you are crying because of grief, because of loss, you know, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. But biblically, you can mourn, experience loss, and still have joy. You can in those moments still recognize the good, even when things look bleak. And it's not going to make you happy, but recognizing the good does allow you for joy. And we've likely experienced in some ways. We've gone to a funeral. Maybe even in the past year, as we were you, you've gone to a funeral, and you say, yes, funerals are sad, and yet there can be true joy. And maybe even a lot of it. And a lot of thanksgiving. Because you take the time to recognize the good. And to rejoice over it. So as we think about giving thanks this morning, the first question that we may ask ourselves is, do we rejoice? As you think about giving thanks over this past year, do you start by thinking, what has been my joy? What is it that is giving you joy today? At this time in your life? You may say, Lord, yes. I bring this before you with that delight and that thanksgiving that flows from recognizing that good. If you're struggling to answer that, take time this morning to consider just why the New Testament is so strong in its call for us to rejoice, and why our joy can even be found in difficult circumstances. It's because I don't know where your mind is going as you think about the things that bring you joy. But what we all share and where we all can go is the fact that we as Christians recognize such an amazing and steadfast and unchanging good in what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Right? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what happens in the world. It doesn't matter what is really going on in our lives that other people may not even know about. No matter, you know, the tears that we may be crying or wanting to cry or the stress that we are under. What may bring you joy is to recognize that God loves you in Jesus Christ. To put it most succinctly and most directly, because that's often the best thing when you think about the good that we have to recognize, that God loves you in Jesus Christ. That He has loved you. It's even in your very worst. And even if that is today, that as you turn to Him, He does love you. That He loves you to the very end. Yet that Christ has loved you all the way to hell and death and beyond, and will to the end of time and beyond that into eternity. And from that realization, from that confession, there may be for each one of us just flow so much. Because then even those little goods that we recognize during our day, the kinds of things that maybe were coming to our mind as you brought up, yeah, what a wonderful day it is, the end of the year. They are stories, what happens to us are stories of luck. But there are signs of God's love, things that He has given to us to confirm to us just His goodness. And that the world and our lives are the theaters of God's care. Yes. But then even in suffering, we may recognize the good and that God has not abandoned us. But He has given us that steadfast, unmovable inheritance and future and hope. That He is with us. That we may rejoice in all circumstances. Of course, there's a challenge in that. Do we recognize that good, or have we become accustomed to it, just taking it for granted? Right? That's one of the main dangers against Thanksgiving. That's one of the main dangers that prevents our joy. We tend to take things, more and more things, for granted, not recognizing the good that we may enjoy. When we were little, as kids, we might have been overjoyed because this Sunday you got extra candy. And that was like a win. In the service, someone left over. Oh, we had the promise of ice cream. Or, you know, it's Christmas time and it's just wonderful. Well, then we grow up, and yeah, candy really doesn't do it for us anymore. But maybe if you're an old teenager, if I got an iPhone, that would be fantastic. But then you get older, and it's like, yeah, everyone has an iPhone, so now it's got to be that trip, that house, that car, whatever our dream is. And sure, everyone says enjoy that. But don't let all of that then blind you from recognizing the good and so much more that God has given us. Yes, enjoy and see the good, well, in an extra candy and ice cream. Now, I'm speaking physical things, but think of all the other gifts that God gives you. A good day at work. A nice holiday with family. Time they're able to spend together. Creation has all kinds of wonders of God's goodness. Music, fruit of all kinds of tastes, all of God's goodness on display. Every single thing is a display of God's gracious care. You might have heard it said, you know, simple minds, simple pleasures. I don't think anything could be more, well, probably some things that could be more untrue, but this one's got to be out there. things that we generally struggle to enjoy sinful pleasures. And that it takes the mind and the heart of faith recognizing the Lord behind who gives it all to us. As maybe it takes the faith of a child to recognize the good in the smallest things and to rejoice and give thanks for them. But it's this kind of recognition that gets us to the second point brought up in 1 Thessalonians 5. As it says, pray without ceasing. Because it requires the mind of faith to receive such small pleasures, big pleasures, spiritual pleasures, and gifts as a gift. There are two things that are worth highlighting, but which are both links in prayer. Is recognizing the good as a gift and being willing to receive them as gifts. And prayer is really what brings those two together. Because if we're honest, can you bring yourself to ask for help? I'm sure if you could ask for help, you'd be like, yeah, I will return the favor someday. You'll do it. Because you feel like, yeah, I'm asking for help, but I'm going to give something in return. No, I'm thinking, could you ask for help that was really essentially just asking for a gift, asking for a handout? Not something you can earn. Not something that you will eventually pay back. And I ask you this because, honestly, for creatures who are entirely dependent on an almighty creator, our God, if that question just proves to us how much we still struggle to receive gifts. As much as we may say, sitting here this morning saying, yes, everything we receive from our creator, and yet we always feel obliged to somehow earn something or somehow repay it. That gifts too often imply for us a sense of owing someone. And maybe being indebted and a burden. And this shouldn't be the case for us with our God. And for this reason, God has given us prayer and encouraged us to ask in prayer for all that we need for body and soul. Why? Because He wants to give them as gifts to us. And prayer is that tool that God has given us to prepare us for that, to receive them as gifts. Because think of what prayer does. Prayer is looking to God and asking Him, acknowledging Him as the Lord and giver of every good gift, and we in prayer confess our dependence on Him. Saying, I rely on your generosity every day, every moment. And by praying for the things that we need, our hearts are prepared to receive those things as gifts from His hand. But of course, what makes this difficult for us is that our pride gets in the way. Just as our pride may keep us from asking anyone for help or asking for the gifts that we need, our pride will try to assert our independence, also even from God. We don't want to owe Him. And I don't guarantee that there's things in your life that you don't pray for because you think you got that covered yourself. That there have been times, maybe even now, times in your life where you don't really pray because you want to live independently. And in both those cases, we have ceased to receive God's good gifts. Because we're like, that's not a gift. I worked hard for this. It's not a gift. It was my own smarts that got me here. Or, it's not a gift. It's my right. And do we then with joy give thanks for those things? Doubt it. No. If we pretend to be thankful about those things, it's likely that that flat thanksgiving doesn't arise in the recognition of the goodness of God. Only the goodness in ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for making me so smart that I could have done this. Thank you, Lord, for giving me health that I might have worked so hard. And the only thing that can really set us free from our pride is grace. And think about that. Grace is, of course, amazing. Because as we think about how the Bible teaches us about grace, it is the undeserved goodness of God towards us because of what Christ has done. But it's there. It's the undeserved, the one thing that we most desperately need, each one of us, but that we don't deserve. Are you daring to ask for that? And the Bible says, do. Ask, because God will give you that one thing that you don't deserve, but most desperately need. But it's one thing that you'll never be able to earn. The one thing that you'll never be able to pay back. But He will give it to you. And how could that not destroy pride? And it's not surprising that in the Greek, the words for grace and the words for thanksgiving are very closely connected. That there is that element of grace within that word, thanksgiving. Because it's grace that then destroys pride. Grace that realizes that we have to receive these things from God as a gift. Undeserved. And then they give thanks for them in that way. Prayer is then the only right response. Because in prayer we accept all that this is true in one action. God is good. He wants to give. And we ask not to give back, but to receive. Because prayer is always done with empty hands, so that God may fill them with His grace. And when God destroys pride, He only makes room for more joy. Because God's goodness shines all the brighter. So if we look at these, joy, prayer, thanksgiving. When we follow God's word, we rejoice in the goodness of our God as in Jesus Christ. We learn to pray unceasingly. And then there is such a great reason for vibrant and lasting thanksgiving to flow. But as such, we also have the contours of what our thanksgiving then may look like. True joy in the Lord by recognizing the good that He has done for us. That He has given to us freely. Thanksgiving today may be shown to God that in the enjoyment of the good gifts that He has given us. Thanksgiving then can also be shown in prayer, by praying to Him again and again to seek good gifts only from Him. And yes, maybe even as we think about it, somewhat paradoxically, we pray without ceasing. When we pray more and more because we recognize our dependence on Him. But also pray less and less in the fact that we are just more joy and satisfied and more content with the less that we have. Because our prayers have taught our hearts to receive all things as gifts from His hands. To see His goodness just in so many different things. And then from this then flows a Christian life of thanksgiving. In everything, give thanks. What is going to characterize 2024 for you? Well, let me think. In everything, give thanks. Vibrant and full of life. And also full of love. There's one thing that the New Testament makes clear is that thanksgiving is full of love. Love to God and also love to our neighbor. When we read the law this morning again, and we think, like, what is the fulfillment of the law? Well, catechism ties it in with that life of thankfulness. But just consider how receiving all things as gifts also changes how we use them. When your health, your body, your time, your money, your family, your work, your business, your home are all gifts. Won't that change the way that you think about enjoying and using them? That it increases our level of care. That it increases our level of intentionality. Well, we may call as Christians that concern to sanctify, to set apart, to use them well, these gifts that we've received. And to do that with joy. Don't you see that actually in God's own words? No, God loves a cheerful giver. Have you ever thought about that? There's thanksgiving, and a life of thanksgiving, thanksgiving, and cheerfulness. Put right there together. We know, we may try to force giving and give thanksgiving as our own effort, because we think it's good, because we're guilted into it, because, you know, we think we owe it to God, or can repay Him that way. If we really want to cultivate robust, vibrant, genuine thanksgiving, let's start. It's rejoicing, recognizing the good. Let's be continually in prayer, receiving the good as a gift, so that we may give thanks for it. For this is the will of God for us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Our gracious God, we thank you for the wonders of your goodness that you have shown to us. We thank you that we may still see your goodness all around us, that we may see it even within ourselves, and how you have formed us, how you created us, how you supply us with all that we need, that you have brought us here today. It's that wonderful work of your hand. And Father, we thank you for we may see your goodness in that new spiritual life that you have implanted within us. But Father, we also confess that we so often we don't understand it. And we are lost. And Father, we need your work within us. And so Father, as we sat under your word, may you continue to bring that word to life within our hearts. May you give us every reason to rejoice always, that we would have eyes to appreciate the good that you've given us, those spiritual blessings that you pour out upon us, but also those other verses that you renew each day for us in supplying with us what we need for our bodies and for our souls. And would that encourage us to come before you in prayer again and again? May that encourage us to recognize every good that we receive as gifts from your hand, to pray for them, and in prayer to give thanks for them. And would you build, make within us that all of our life may be that of thanksgiving. That we may set apart those good gifts that you give us. Treat them as holy, as good, those things that we've prayed for, the things that we've rejoiced over, the things that we are able to share when you have, as you have given, that we may give with joy. And that we then just may rejoice all the more for that new life you've given in us. And so, Father, would you be with us the rest of this day, that it truly may be that your work may within our hearts that causes praise and thanksgiving may abound, and not just today, but also as we look forward to a new year. We ask you all this in Christ's name alone.